Welcome to the Menstruality Podcast, where we share inspiring conversations about the power of menstrual cycle awareness and conscious menopause. This podcast is brought to you by Red School, where we're training the menstruality leaders of the future. I'm your host, Sophie Jane Hardy, and I'll be joined often by Red School's founders, Alexandra and Shani, as well as an inspiring group of pioneers, activists, changemakers, and creatives to explore how you can unashamedly claim the power of the menstrual cycle to activate your unique form of leadership for yourself, your community, and the world. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. In this conversation today, I got to do one of my favorite things, which is explore how menstrual cycle awareness helped my guest to know and understand and live and embody her calling in life. I'm chatting with Chloe Isidora, the creator of My Moon Power, which is a set of essential oils to help you connect to yourself, to your cycle, to your inner seasons. She's also the author of Sacred Self-Care, Everyday Rituals for a More Joyful and Meaningful Life. And she's a graduate of our Menstruality Leadership Program. She's got a really deeply devoted practice of menstrual cycle awareness. And we invited her to the podcast to explore her creative process over the past several years through a cycle aware lens. It's beautiful, it's inspiring, it's a very relatable journey from self-doubt, uncertainty, and low self-esteem through a series of unexpected twists and turns to a wildly creative life. And Chloe and I were actually on the Menstruality Leadership Program together, so it was a real joy to sit down with her. So let's get started with my journey from self-doubt to cycle-aware creativity with Chloe Isidora. Oh, Chloe, sitting here with you, I'm so excited to talk with you because you were just saying before we started recording that the last time we saw each other, we were sitting on a bench outside Hawkwood, having just completed the Menstruality Leadership Program in 2018. And you were holding this dream that has become My Moon Power, which we'll explore today. And I'm so excited. Yeah, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for having me. It's like an absolute dream come true.
Let's cycle check in first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where are you at? How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I'm on day 23 and I'm actually feeling really sprightly today. I had my menstrual like rah earlier a few days ago. I just felt so crazy ragey. And so I like got in the car and like raged out all of the things that I really was annoyed about and just like screamed them at the top of my voice and like made a lot of space. And then today I just feel quite in flow with things. And yeah, it feels like there's a really nice feeling of aliveness. That's the word that I would say.
I love that. I'm on day 4 and yeah. I wonder if that full moon took us both for a ride then, because we've just had I don't feel massively connected to the moon. I'm really much more in tune with my cycle, but I think because I bled and the full moon at the same time, I got taken into just a very deep dark kind of cave. I actually got a migraine. It was like my body was saying no, dark and in, and I really had to go in. Grief, jealousy, bitterness, like it was a lot of difficult emotion.
Oh, me too.
Oh, interesting.
Oh my God, I was so jealous. Like that was my main one. And I had to give myself a real talking to.
Yeah, same. There's something so shameful about jealousy, I think. It's hard to own, isn't it? I mean, I find it quite hard to own.
Totally.
Yeah.
That was like the main emotion that was coming up. I have a kind of relationship with myself where I talk to myself and I find the humor in what I'm going through. So even though it was like this really icky, awful, like jealousy, I was like talking it all out in the car to myself. And then I was like, okay, my love, like, are you done with that? Do you feel like you need to feel a bit more? And I'm like, I need to feel some more. And then I'm like, okay. Then I end up laughing because I'm like, okay, now enough.
I love it. I think that's one of the things I most appreciate about Alexandra and Shani's teachings around the critic is if you can bring even a tiny splash of humor, it dissipates the charge.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, well, I really appreciate feeling us together in our opposite ends of the cycle. being with our jealousy. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm excited to talk to you, Chloe, is because you're so alive in your cycle awareness practice. And yeah, I feel like we could really, yeah, we can go to some depths. But the place I'd really like to go first is for you to share about your calling. Mm. You know, the pulse in you that brought this dream about and that has kept you going through the manifesting of this dream. And just, I'd love to hear how you would give voice to your calling, like how you would describe it now.
Well, I'll start a little bit further back than the oils. So I used to work in the fashion industry, and I was, you know, this is a very kind of like classic story of, you know, doing a job that looks great on paper, but really just feeling like the most awful inside. And I really had so low self-worth, self-esteem, and literally felt like a black cloud was like following me around all the time. And I was really struggling. And part of it was because I felt like that I wasn't doing what I was meant to be doing, but I didn't know what I was meant to be doing. I was just like, just really feeling unhappy and kind of feeling like that surely there must be more to life than this, you know, that type of a feeling. And then I was seeing a shamanic practitioner at the time. She encouraged me to start doing shamanic studies. And that's kind of how like the door opened for me, because I thought that literally you had to be born with like magical powers and were like had to be magically gifted. And she was like, oh no, you can get initiated and you can learn this. And I was like, oh my God. And so I went to my first, I was doing the medicine wheel at the light body school at the Four Winds. And the first turn of the wheel was the South, and the South was all about connecting to your core wounds and your the things that are ruling you but you don't know. And so I'm there in like this group of, you know, probably over 60 people, and there were some really advanced people in the class, and they were all, well, not all, but a lot of people were like, oh my God, did you hear that? Did you see that? Did you see that energy? Did you feel that? And I was so closed down, I was so armored, I couldn't feel anything. I was just so emotional. And so that was even harder for me, because I was like, oh, I'm so like not good enough. Like, ugh. And basically, you know, I realized that my whole life was being ruled by fear. Like every single decision I was making was from fear. And that this feeling of not good enough was like my main life's driver. And so it was shocking. It was genuinely shocking to unearth all of this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, no, I'm thinking, wait, I just thought I was going to feel better about myself. But no, you've got to go down and in further before you start feeling better. And then literally I came back from this training, and my teacher said, he was like, you know, don't be surprised when you go home if your life changes. Literally, you got home. Next day, boyfriend broke up with me. Following day, got fired from my job. And so everything instantly got wiped out, like a very, very... very fast, didn't have to make any decisions. It just all got taken out for me. So in a way, it's kind of a bit easier, because I didn't have to think like, oh, should I leave this job or not? It's a good job, but I get paid not well, and blah, 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 blah. You know, the decision was made. And so the path was cleared. And then I had another decision. Shall I get another job in a different magazine, or shall I, follow this calling? And the calling was a feeling that made me feel excited, that made me feel like that the world was more expansive than I thought it to be. It made me feel like that there was magic in the world, and that it made me feel alive. Yeah, that was it. And then I was really, you know, like as with these journeys happen, you know, you meet people, and then this an incredible woman, she became my mentor. She really, really trained me a lot. And like, you know, I'd be in session with her and she'd be like, right, Chloe, you do this. And I was like, oh, okay. And so then she was always getting me to work on her clients. And so I had this amazing mentor that would just be like, come on, come on, come on, come on. But it was also super intensive where she lived, because like the energy was so extreme that things would happen. So for example, like the plumbing would just go, because like, because the energy, everything that wasn't in alignment would get shown. So there, of course, like everything that's not in alignment within me was just like popping left, right, and center. And so I was like, And then part of my shamanic training, one of my teachers was a woman called Marcella Lobos, and she is Alberto Fiordo's wife. And we went off and we did a plant medicine ceremony in Peru together, and she was holding this one for women. And in this ceremony, what we now know as the rite of the womb came through to her and was gifted to her in this ceremony. And so she didn't share anything about it at the time, but then at my next training, she was initiating all of the women. And so again, it wasn't something that I was thinking like, oh, I feel that I need to be doing womb work, or I had a calling to do womb work. I didn't know what womb work was. It wasn't on the radar. Like, it was like we're in, I think, 2016 here. It wasn't like a main thing. You know, like, womb work now is like so widely spoken about. Periods is so widely spoken about. Like, well, within our niche, I mean, in the wider realms, it's still a bit further. But really, at the time, it wasn't in my awareness at all. And then Marcella, so she held this incredible ceremony, and the room was set up like a giant uterus. And
Wow.
so all of the women were in the ovaries. So we were in the ovaries, and then Marcella and two other women were down the vaginal canal, and they were there in the center initiating all of the women. And then all of the men were around the outside holding the space. And it was so powerful. And as I walked down the vaginal canal, my womb started vibrating, and it was like, and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, never felt anything like that before. And so I was like, this is really powerful. I can feel something is happening. And then after I was initiated into the rite, the following day I started bleeding. And I don't remember like my period being due. I remember thinking like, oh, whoa, like that was unexpected. And also the blood was really dark, and it felt like ancient blood coming out, and it felt like ancestral. It wasn't like my normal color, like it was a lot darker. And then other women who had also been initiated that day as well, they also started bleeding too. Yeah. And so that put me on the path of being, like really intrigued, and like, what is this womb work? And this feels like really powerful. And then as soon as you're initiated into the rite, like, part of the gift of it is that you share it with other women. And so, your womb is now alive. Consciousness is in your womb. She's vibrating. She has light. And so really, you feel like, what I felt like, this duty to share it with other women as well. And so I came back to London, and again, everything just like bum 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 bum. Went to a yoga class, and they were like, oh, we want to run some workshops. And I was like, I actually would like to run a workshop. They were good, great, do that. And I had a full house like straight away. So it was amazing. So that put me on the initial journey of being interested in womb work and womb healing and feminine empowerment. And then as the years and time went on, I just, I kept learning, and then I came across Alexandra and Shani, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then and the first class that I did with them was Wild Power, and that was in London.
Can I ask you a question about this? Because you just interviewed Alexandra and Shani for your musings conversations that are part of the My Moon Power whole project. It was beautiful. You shared that I think it was like the day before the Wild Power workshop, you had said to Rich, who's the man that became the perfumer for My Moon Power, that you had said, look, when I get up in the morning, I don't know how to plan my day. I don't know what my mood's going to be like. I don't know who I'm going to be that day. And he said, Chloe, I think you need to look into that. That sounds like it's a problem. And then the next day, you went to the Wild Power course and learned that, oh no, it's because I am different each day and that there's nothing wrong with me.
Exactly. And my mind was blown. Like, it was so blown. It was like a million light bulbs went off for me all in once. And I left, and I was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just a menstruating woman. That felt so amazing. And again, it's like with this work, when that lights up within you, it's like you want to share it with everyone, because it's like you've been walking around in the dark ages. And then it's like, we don't need to be there. We totally could have this whole realm of information that would be so supportive. And and so that then I was like, well, got to share it.
And then that eventually took you to the Menstruality Leadership Program.
So yeah. Then as soon as I did Wild Power, like I was like ready to do the leadership program. And what happened after Wild Power? So Wild Power was only a 1 day. Oh, no, it was a 2 day course in London. And literally after that was when the idea for my Moon Power came. So from that moment on, like the idea was seeded within me, because I wanted to do something with essential oils anyway. But I, you know, when all of this information came in, I was like, this is so powerful. This is so needed. This would help me so much. And that's when the idea came. And then I really wanted to deepen my studies as well. And then I then started with the leadership course as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's so beautiful to hear your story. And I was moved by many things. When you were describing that shift from, should I go and work for another magazine? I know there's more to life than this, to actually moving towards your calling. You named some of the things which I think for our listeners who might be at certain points on that journey, it's just something important for us all to be listening to all the time, isn't it? Like, what makes me feel alive? What makes me feel excited? You said expansive and magic. That, like, the way you were able to give voice to that was really meaningful. And then you started to notice these synchronicities, and everything was slotting into place until you got to this place where the idea for My Moon Power landed in you. Through all of that, is there like a texture or a flavor or a way you would describe your purpose here through all of this? Like, what's the golden thread that you see running through all of this?
I mean, the golden thread behind it all, and this is like a deeper one. And I actually did talk about this with Shani and Alexandra, because Shani felt it the second I sent her the box. And it's actually the energy of Mary Magdalene. So Mary Magdalene, you know, the work with her is all about returning back to yourself. It's returning back to the heart. It's returning back to the womb. And it's that deep, deep dive in, so that you can meet yourself, you can hold your darkness, you can hold your light. And what happened with the oils is, again, synchronicity after synchronicity. I was like, whoa, this isn't me driving this project. This is Magdalene's energy. So when I was looking for the bowl, like, I knew that I wanted a ritual bowl and an anointing bowl. And I had these beautiful ceramic bowls made, and I was like, no, they're not right. And then my mum went to Egypt and she brought me back this alabaster bowl, and I was like, oh, this sounds amazing. And I went down that contact and I was like, oh no, they're just crazy expensive. And again, I spoke to Rich, and part of his company's in India, and I said, hey, listen, I think an alabaster bowl would be amazing. And he's like, oh, perfect, we can get those made. And so then again, I spoke to this amazing woman. She was like, absolutely, we can get these made for you. So each of the bowls are handmade, especially for my Moon Power. And then when my alabaster bowls arrived, like, I mean, like, literally, it was just so amazing. All of these bowls arriving. And then the next week I got given this book, and it's called Woman with an Alabaster Jar. And it tells the story of Mary Magdalene anointing Yeshua's feet from an alabaster jar. And I didn't know that it was faster. Yeah.
Wow. My mind is going in so many different places now, which is largely to do with being menstrual, because I've got a very strong connection to Mary Magdalene myself, but I never speak about it. It's just kind of a little private affair I've had over the past 10 years. And isn't it amazing how the energy of a mythical, historical being can infuse different people's lives with the same message? Because I feel like my initiatory journey with Mary Magdalene has been about exactly the same thing, going down into the depths to free up my light, I guess I would describe it as. And yeah, there's so much magic there.
It's so much magic as well. And it's interesting, because I didn't know whether to talk about that as well. Like, I haven't put that openly on the website or anything, but if someone asks me the question, I'm happy to share it. But part of me didn't want it to be too woo-woo or too, like, you know, unaccessible, because what I really want is for these oils to be, you know, a gateway into menstrual cycle work, which maybe it's too much for someone to go to a workshop, because, you know, like, it is a lot. Like, you've got to be really into it, and you also have to have the confidence to go into that space too. And so what I feel like is that the oils are a bridge into it. So that's what I was saying with Alexandra and Shani. It's almost like I want my oils to be like the bridge, and then, like, then the someone gets them and is like, wow, I really want to learn about this, and then they go to the Red School and learn, you know.
Yes, it's so fascinating what you're saying, because what I'm seeing is when someone's holding a calling, there are always multiple layers to that calling. Mm-hmm. And part of the journey into leadership for each of us is to understand what to reveal to whom and how to share and how to transmit and communicate. And you know that we can talk about Mary Magdalene here because we're on the Menstruality podcast, and we can go wherever we want to go. We can go to the, like, the depths and the heights of the fullness of the calling, because I know people listening will have their own version of, oh, can I say that out loud? Can I? Mm. You know, so there's something so powerful about that you brought that. Because I'm very curious that that's the place you went when I said, tell me about your calling.
Mm. It's almost, I feel like that her energy is infused within me. Mm. So I don't feel like that I want to be her or that I was her or anything like that. It's more that whatever I'm meant to do is supported by her. That's what it feels like. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense to me. Can you tell us how it's looked to move from idea and concept to you now have this beautiful offering, this beautiful product that is out in the world?
Mm-hmm.
How has the creative process unfolded?
First of all, I was so grateful that we had done the creative process in the leadership training, because that actually had a huge impact on me. And what I did at the beginning is I had the idea and I nurtured it, and I kept, you know, like, looking into things. I didn't tell too many people either. And this is also what at the beginning of that training, do you remember? And it was like keeping it as this, like, precious seed. And actually, that's really what I did. And it wasn't that I consciously thought to do that. It was just that naturally I felt that way. It's like I kind of wanted to protect this idea. So I didn't really tell too many people about it. And I just kind of kept building it. You know, I was working with Rich on the oils, and then, you know, all of the smells were coming together, and I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And then one thing would lead to the next, and then I would start researching boxes. I mean, good God, like, the boxes took me years to find. I can't even tell you. It was like, took such a long time to sort the box out. And so really it was like the creative process for me was kind of like this underground, a bit like finding and collecting, almost like I'm sort of like seeing myself as a little squirrel, like gathering all of the things.
Like you had your nose to a scent.
Yeah.
And you just kept following whatever track you found next. What I'm curious about, though, is how you knew when it was right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how did you know when the box was right? Because I think perfectionism can take us out of our creative process. So how did you know when it was like, yes, this is it?
Yeah. So the box, I mean, I knew the second it arrived, like my whole body was just like, yes.
Have you always been someone with a very strong felt sense?
Mm.
Or is this something that you've had to hone and develop? Because clearly when you were working in the fashion industry, you were feeling something, but you didn't quite know how to feel it. And then life pulled the rug out from underneath you. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So I've always been a feeler, but it was to my detriment when I was in fashion and like as a teenager and everything. And so I just, you know, always thought that I was over emotional, too sensitive. And I didn't realize that it was actually a gift as well.
And is it cycle awareness that has unlocked that then? Like, how has cycle awareness helped you access your felt sense or help you channel it in a way which is creative and generative?
I think that the cycle awareness has helped me in a way that when I'm having the extreme felt senses, that I'm so much kinder to myself. So, for example, like when I would go into my autumn time, previously, before I knew any of this work, I was so mean to myself. I thought my whole life was imploding. I thought I was useless. I thought like that everything was falling apart and I hated myself and everything was swollen and all this, it was just so mean. And now I'm like, oh, I'm into my autumn. Oh, my body's changing a little bit. And I'm like, oh, my mood's shifting. And instead of that, like in not wanting to be in it, it's like, oh, okay, so let me just take a breath. Let me create some space. And what am I actually feeling? Okay, what do I need right now? No. And so it's like it's a lot kinder.
So it sounds like your critic is very active in inner autumn. So I'm curious about this. Something that I found is the more I've got befriended my critic in autumn, the more I've sat in my authority, and the more my inner spring has become a troubling time for me, where my like inner maiden can now come out and show her full vulnerability. Now that my inner teen that is very present in autumn, we're sort of down together now. Like I listen to her, we dialogue, And so I'm curious how the creative process has been for you in your inner spring. Is that a time of creative flow and ideas, or can there be a challenge there too?
Springtime, I'm a bit more wondering what all my friends are doing. So I could get distracted actually at springtime. And I can feel myself sort of like start bopping, I think that the areas that I have this struggle with is the drop into bleed. It's coming and I so want to go there and I so want to let go and I'm like so wanting it. But I'm holding on because I'm like, I just need to finish off that and send that email and just keep going one tiny bit longer so I can do the thing, but I want to drop in. So this is the bit that I've noticed of late. And so I'm actually really consciously working with this. And the way that I'm doing that is to practice actually within the whole cycle so that I'm not having to let go just at that point. Because ultimately it's also around like accepting myself as well. So like throughout, whenever I feel like that pulling forward or that I'm trying to go that way and I actually just want to be here in the center, again, I just keep taking a breath and I just go, oh, I accept myself. I accept where I am. And then I feel like I'm back more. And then also I feel more rooted in my womb and almost like that there's a foundation building there as well.
Okay, I'm just going to pause my conversation with Chloe for a moment to share an invitation with you. I always find it so refreshing to spend time with people like Chloe who really get the potential of cycle awareness. And I think it's especially because the menstrual cycle has been denied and demonized and rejected for centuries in most cultures. And we've been led to believe it's a limitation or a weakness that we have to overcome in order to succeed in our world. The underground mission of the Red School Menstruality Leadership Program is to help as many of us as possible to embody the extraordinary truth that the menstrual cycle and the menopause process aren't something that we have to overcome. They're actually our custom-made initiatory path to embodying our power. The doors for the 2024 Menstruality Leadership Program are open now. And if you're feeling called, we would absolutely love to have you with us for this journey. Please visit menstrualityleadership.com to find out more and register. And I was lucky, as I mentioned at the beginning, to be on the same MLP training as Chloe. And in our conversation, she shared a little bit about her Menstruality Leadership Program experience. So here's what she said.
The main thing I'm taking away from MLP is a deeper connection to myself, a deeper understanding about myself. The word that is coming is power. And Alexandra and Shani are, it makes me emotional because I feel like they are such incredible facilitators. They are meticulous with the way that they hold space. Their space holding is impeccable. You feel so held, so supported. You feel their love and how much they want this for you, that you feel their passion. And as the course goes on, they're both learning with us. It's not like that they've got all the answers. They're like having, oh wow, I didn't think about it like that. And it's so exciting because you feel like you're all in it together.
As you're speaking about the different seasons and your capacity to come back, lean in, sit in to yourself exactly as you are and ask yourself what you need, I'm imagining that your anointing process with the oils has been key to you discovering how and then embodying this capacity to sit down back within yourself, lean into yourself, however you are. So I'm really curious to follow that thread and speak about anointing. Back to Mary Magdalene too.
That's Mary Magdalene, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you tell us about, yeah, how you understand the practice of anointing and how it supported you?
Yeah. So the way that I understand it and the way that I've created it for the My Moon Power Oils as well is that you're connecting to your own supply of source light. So that source light that's always there, we're always connected to, but you're consciously bringing it down. And then you're anointing your centers. And what I also have is a prayer. I'll take us through it as well. And what you're doing is you're bringing essentially heaven to earth. So you're bringing source light down into your body and then anchoring that down into earth. So what it means is that every morning when you're getting ready, it's like you're blessing yourself and then you're bringing source light down into the earth. So you're also blessing the earth as well. And then you go off and do your day. But then at the end of the ritual too, I always do a check-in, like, you know, how am I feeling and what do I need?
Mm-hmm. Tell me what it means to you when you say source light. I'd just love to open up that idea a little more.
So for me, it's a feeling sense. And it's like, for me, it feels like luminous light, liquid light that like cascades all the way down and around me and then all the way through my central channel. And it's like everything just goes, and it's like I kind of feel the centers all lit up, and then I just feel more energy and more radiance coming into my body and into my energy field.
Beautiful. One of the things that I've long admired about you is your relationship you have with your body. And there was something that you shared on Instagram. I just took a walk through your world this morning, which was a delight. And there was a video of you, I guess, with one of your good friends, and you were both naked by a river, and you were bringing the oils to your body with so much reverence and care and tenderness. And again, because of your feeling nature, there was this transmission of just acceptance, love, honoring, devotion to your body. Is this something you know about yourself?
It is something that I really practice as well. And I practice it because, you know, in my teenage years, I really did not have that relationship at all. I was very much a body bully and really unkind to myself. And as most teenagers do, well, actually, I don't know if as most teenagers, but I didn't have a full-blown eating disorder, but I definitely had eating issues, you know. And also in my fashion days as well, I was very, very body conscious, you know, always had to be wearing the right thing, always felt like too short, too fat, too this, too that. And it's only from doing all of the work that I do now that the relationship with my body has changed, and that I'm just so much kinder, like so much kinder. And also I look after her really well as well. You know, I feed her really good foods, like I exercise, but I don't exercise from the perspective of exercise to be thin. I exercise to be strong and to look after her rather than a different, you know, whereas in my teenage years, it would be like, I'm just going to exercise because I want to be thin. But it's definitely been a whole process for sure.
Back to the calling again. I'm just tracking how so often the calling is so connected to our deepest wounds, or how our shadows show up, or how our challenges show up. The fact that, your teenage body was crying out for anointing and honoring, and to understand the female body as sacred, to understand the hormonal cycle as sacred. And perhaps something about that pain is part of what has 100%. Propelled you into this. Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like that, you know, a lot of the underlying message of all of the work that I offer is a remembrance of that we're sacred, and that our bodies are sacred, that we're sacred beings. And so, of course, that is self-love as well. And it's the age-old thing, you teach what you need the most. And that's the thing that I needed the most, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And don't you just trust? So when it came to taking this precious offering that you've been crafting for so long and holding, you know, holding the seed of it and following the scents, literally. how was it? What kind of challenges did you have to negotiate to bring it out into the world, into form?
Oh my goodness. I mean, my personal challenges, sort of understanding the way that I work. I have one idea, then I'm off doing another idea, and then I'm here, then I'm there, then I'm there. So I have to be okay with who I am, actually, instead of trying to change it all. And for me, I really struggle with writing as well. So that took a long time. And thank goodness I have the most amazing woman called Abby that works with me. And through us working together, that really helped me get all the copy down. But that was a challenge, huge challenge for sure. And then, you know, now the challenge as well is, you know, you think, oh, you've made a product and it's out in the world, and that's great. I'm on the next idea now. I'm like already like, right, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But no, now you've got to nurture this one that's out there, and you've then got to get it out into the world. And I actually wasn't really expecting that so much, you know. So I just kind of thought, you know, like it's out, done. I was a bit shocked.
You mean everyone isn't just buying them immediately?
and also, what other challenges did I have?
Well, can we stay with that one for a minute?
Yeah.
Because I know for sure that there are so many people in this community around this podcast who have these dreams and are scared of this bit that you're in, because it involves visibility, because it involves staying true and keeping going and dedication and tenacity. Yes. And what is keeping you, what is fueling you to keep spreading the word, communicating? Yeah.
Okay, so what's fueling me? I think I was like, you know, I've gone to all of this effort. I just can't drop the ball now.
Yes.
And it feels really important that it's out there, and then it reaches the women that it needs to reach. And every time I share the oils in person, and I share them at a workshop, or if I'm holding, you know, like I did this beautiful festival this year called Sisters of Heart of the Rose, and I was showing the women there, and I could feel them when they were receiving it, and it was like, whoa. And I was like, okay, this is really powerful, this is really amazing. And they would walk away and something had shifted within them. And so it's, again, it's not really so much like, yes, of course I want it to be successful, and of course I want it out there, and of course I want it to be a sustainable business so that I can really get my teeth into it and everything. But then also there's another bit, which is, again, maybe the Magdalene energy, the driving force that is like, no, it just needs to be out there, because this remembrance of anointing needs to be brought forward. This remembrance of menstrual cycle awareness needs to be brought forward, and for us to be in relationship with it, and the oils help that. So there's a wider purpose, and, you know, and it's I guess like the mission of my moon power is to help you come home, like is to remember that you're sacred, to come home to yourself, to come home to your heart, to come home to your womb. And like when I tap into that, oh my God, that feels so good. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm there. And then that gives me the energy again. But you know, listen, it's hard, like showing up on Instagram. Like I don't want to show up on Instagram all the time. I'm a really private person. Like, I only want to share when I feel like sharing. And so it's difficult when actually you have a brand and really what I should be doing is posting every single day, but I don't feel like it, you know?
Yeah, honestly, I've heard that so many times. And I think it's why a cyclical approach to everything we do is so needed, isn't it? Because what I'm hearing in you is, well, what I heard in you is you're sort of dancing between the seasons as you were describing what's keeping you going. Because part of it is kind of autumnal go, yeah, drive. Like there's a momentum behind this thing and I'm going to let the momentum carry me. And then I also heard an inner winter visionary, you know, the Magdalene is infused in all this and I want this medicine to be out there. And then like a landing back in your why.
Yeah.
Of, exactly. You know, this is what I'm here to serve. And then I also felt some summertime, you know, I'm just going to get out there with people and see this actually changing their lives and seeing how beautiful it is. And yeah. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And it's dancing. It's absolutely dancing between all of it. And also knowing at the same time that it's an embryo. It's only was birthed in May. I mean, it's a baby, baby, baby. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you where you feel that you're at in the creative cycle here with this, because since it was born in May, it's November now that we're speaking. Does this feel like the springtime still? What would the summertime look like for you, do you think? Like, how will you know?
I still feel like I'm planting seeds. And again, you know, like I assumed it to be quicker, but you know, like a tree doesn't grow. You don't plant a seed and a tree grows. And so the way that I've been talking to myself is like, Chloe, you're planting all of these seeds and you're going to keep planting them. And then at some point is those ones that are meant to grow are going to grow. And then again, I rest back again, because I don't also want it to be fast, because I'm a, you know, a baby business. If it was to be too fast, I wouldn't be able to handle that either. So it's like everything has to be paced. And then also it's really important to see the places that actually I'm not very good at and like need extra support and need extra help. And like the things that I am really good at and like, okay, that feels really solid. But being quite honest with myself as well.
I just feel like it's such a major gift of cycle awareness. And Alexandra often speaks about it in the context of menopause, which I just hear is like the holy grand moment of this, of going, do you know what? I'm good at this and I'm just not good at this. And that's who I am. And that's okay. And yeah. I'm excited for that in my life, not to belittle the huge initiation that menopause is and can be for people. But I know for my own cycle awareness practice, and actually motherhood is really working me here, is I'm 42 now, but you know, turning 40 was a big thing for me. I'm settling into, yeah, same. Okay, my cycle is showing me every month that these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. So why don't I just call in more support there? And why don't I really lean into that? Yeah, it's definitely cycle awareness that's allowing me to befriend that rather than keep pushing against my own nature. Yeah.
Totally. And I think that is the absolute gift as well. It's just such a gift. And it's really interesting. Earlier this, as soon as the oils were birthed, the exact same day that I birthed them, my relationship ended. And so I was in really, like, I was in expansion and contraction all at once. And also it was, you know, I was so excited about the business, but also in heartbreak and da-da-da-da-da, all the things. And my cycle was really affected. And I actually didn't ovulate for 3 whole months. And so it was amazing, though, because through my cycle, it was showing me, you're really stressed, you know? And so instead of, like, really pushing myself, I was like, oh my god, my fertile fluid's gone. And I was like having a complete meltdown, obviously. But then I was like, okay, whoa, I'm really stressed. I need to actually look after myself and like do all of the things, which of course when you're in a stress situation you forget everything. And so thank god for friends, because your friends are going to remind you. And this is what I always say, is like with this type of work and with womb work and with a lot of healing work as well, it's like when you forget, there's going to be someone else that's remembering. And when they forget, you remember. And it's always like that you're holding a hand out both directions. And so when I was in that space and I spoke to my friend and she was just like, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh yeah, thanks. Mm. I really needed to hear that.
Yeah. I had a direct experience of that this morning because I was in the co-working space with the Hive, which is the Red School graduates community. Mm. So people that have done the Menstruality Leadership Program. And I showed up anxious because it's day four and a lot happened already this morning. A didn't sleep very well. So it was me dog walking, taking Artie to nursery, getting ready for work, blah, blah, blah. And I just showed up just realizing how overwhelmed and overloaded I was. And then there was this circle of women all looking at me lovingly. And that's all it took to go, oh, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. It's that, that togetherness is everything, isn't it? A particularly cycle-aware togetherness, mm. which is so imbued with acceptance and just a capacity to de-shame instantly. Yeah.
Totally. I know. And then when someone else has got their Moonie, you're like, don't worry, I'll carry your bags. And they're like, oh.
So beautiful. And thank you for sharing. That's a really challenging place to find yourself in personally, with something really important dissolving, whilst you're simultaneously, the world is calling you to be visible. So I think when we step out in leadership, whatever that looks like in our lives, there's always going to be a tension that we're holding. And I just really appreciate you naming it, because we don't often share those things. And it looks like everything's perfect on the outside. And the more that we can just be really honest and true about what's actually happening, the more that we can just dispel this myth of perfection that mm. this capitalist patriarchal system would have us live inside of. Mm.
Totally. And I think this is for other people that are listening as well, is, you know, whenever you're shifting gears in your life, like, expect big stuff to happen. Like, I know on the really big pivotal moments, and just like I shared at the beginning bit, which was when I came back and boyfriend broke up and then I got fired from my job, it's the same story with like birth a new business and then relationship ends on the same day. It's like there's, when there is a birth, there is a death. And it's like, it was the birth and the death and rebirth portal all in one day. And so because it was happening and because I had that awareness, I was like, I know what's going on here. Doesn't make it any less painful, like, no way. But there is a wider trust, I guess. Yeah.
It feels like our callings keep us spiraling. As mm. we're expanding and evolving, we spiral around and we hit the same moments again, and we get to see how we can respond differently to a mirror of a challenge that we've had in the past. And wow, the antidote of trust there mm. is just everything. Alexandra and Shani have started saying that they say, we just take the next feeble step, Sophie. We just take the next feeble step, because they've been so humbled by like the force of the calling that's coming through them both, and what they have to field and manage and integrate and move through as leaders. And they just keep listening, being willing, and then taking the next step. And that's what I hear in the trust that you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. The feeble next step.
Yeah, let's do this next.
And by the way, just so that you know, like, it's like a decision to keep having to come back into trust as well, because it's really easy to pop out and then you come back and then pop out. And you know, with all of this work, it's a process always. And I'm like just as deeply in the process, being messy, behaving in ways that I wish I wasn't behaving in. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just, every month in autumn, I catch myself going, this is it. This is the end. I'm never going to do this again. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. And then a little voice goes, Sophie, you're going to bleed and everything's going to look really different. There'll be like fresh white snow on the ground and you can make new footprints. And yeah, thank God for cycle awareness. Thank goddess.
Oh, thank God.
Mm.
So back to the question that you had around like the creative process around birthing the oils. So felt like the initially the idea when it came, I was like in seed form and I was nurturing it and looking after it. And then I was in full creation. So I feel like that was my spring. Then I was creating, finding all the packaging, finding working with the designer, and it was like all like flourishing and it was all coming together as a product. Then when I went further around as well, I was like, right, I need people to try this now. So that then I felt like was the autumn. And so I got lots of samples made and sent those to 30 different women to try. And so that also felt like the critic stage as well, where I felt confident enough to send it out into the world and let people try and give me feedback and all of that. Then when I birthed the oils and launched them in May, that felt like, through the birth canal. And then you're kind of in the void because it's been let go of, and it's like, it's out there now. It's its own thing. It's going to be doing its own thing. And then also what I think that people don't reference very often, or not that I've heard, and the reason I know this is because when I did my book back in 2019, the same thing happened, is you birth it, but then you're kind of like, and you're in this space. And because I didn't know about it when I did the book, then I felt really depressed and I felt like purposeless and I didn't really know what I was doing. And like, why wasn't I feeling so amazing? I've just created this book, it's out in the world. But I just felt kind of like, huh? Like, oh. And I just felt a bit lost. So then, and that's what I feel like it is, that you're in the void. So, but then with this time with the oils, because I knew about the void bit, then they birthed out, and then I was a bit more expecting that, and I was able to drop into it. And like, okay, so it's its own entity, it's off doing its own thing now. And then for me, to receive that void-like space is what it felt like as well.
So what held you? So you knew the void was coming, which is everything. And then what did you do in the void, or how did you hold yourself in the void?
Well, I was also going through a breakup, so
Right, double void. Ow. Oh.
I was holding a lot. I was holding a lot. Yeah, I was holding a lot. And because I also knew that I wasn't going to allow the breakup to affect me. And so I was holding so strong. Like I like called on, like summoned on all the power within me to be like, phew. And so I felt very strong, very powerful, and very like just on a mission that I was going to be able to birth this through. But then as the time went on, then I had to let go, and I went into deep, 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 deep grief. And so part of that was, of course, the breakup, but then also part of that was like that I was in the void space again. So it was so intertwined, like I'm
Yes.
separating it out actually as we're talking. I haven't really
Yes.
thought about it that deeply. I was just,
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't have time, and we don't give time and space. Our world doesn't create time and space to explore these things so much. It really correlates to me to the postpartum window after having given birth, because everyone was so interested in me as a pregnant person. And then as soon as the baby is born, of course, everyone's interested in the baby, but I've just been through like 10 marathons in a row, it felt like. And yeah, there was a big open space. And I think it's so beautiful and generous of you to share this so that everyone listening, whatever void they're in after whatever creative process, like I even had it last night because I put a podcast episode out and then I was just alone. It meant a huge amount to me, that episode. Now I don't know how it's going to land with people, and I got to do a little mini holding of myself. But yeah, generous for anyone who is in that void moment to know it's natural if you're feeling grief. It's natural if you don't know what's going on. You're in the void, and it will change. And it will change.
Totally. Yeah. And so that's, I felt so grateful that we had done this work on the creative process, because I felt like I had a map, whereas with my book I didn't have that map at all. And so I didn't have any awareness, and this one I was like, well, no, I'm in it, and that's okay. Yeah, again, it's just always like, I always take a breath, and I'm always a big talker to myself. I'm always like, babe, it's all right. Okay, babe, you're all right.
Background full circle to that self-love. It's so
Yeah.
beautiful. Chloe, how can people connect with you and connect with My Moon Power if they're curious? They want to get the oils, they want to connect.
So My Moon Power has its own website called My Moon Power, and there's an Instagram as well, and we have everything on there. And it also has, well, another component that was really important for me is that it was educational as well. So I didn't want it just to be the oils. You know, the exciting bit for me is that we get to have conversations, and you know, like with interviewing Shani and Alexandra, and so there's a whole section on there called The Muse, where I've had amazing musings with lots of different women, and we talk about all different things, whether it's sexuality, whether it's creativity, whether it's psycho-wellness, whether it's painting with menstrual blood, you know, the list goes on. So it's a really good resource as well. And then you find the oils on there too, and on the Instagram. And then my website is Chloe Isadora, and then my Instagram is Chloe Isadora as well. And then I do womb work, and currently my course is about healing after a breakup. Surprise, surprise. I
Yeah,
put all of those golden nuggets to good use.
transmuting the pain into gold for others. That was so
Totally. I learned
beautiful.
so much. I was like, oh God, I learned so much. And I was like, right, now time to share it.
Gorgeous. Thank you, Chloe. It's been wonderful to be with you. And I can't wait to get my, I've got the oils on my Christmas list, so I can't wait for them to arrive and to start my anointing practice with them. Thank you so much.
Oh, Sophie, thank you so much. It is so fun. I've loved talking with you.
'Thank you for joining Chloe and I today. I'd love to hear how this episode landed with you. You can always email me at sophie@redschool.net. I'd love to hear from you. I'd also love to hear if you have any recommendations for anyone that you'd love us to interview on the podcast in 2024, or if there are any themes that you would really love us to speak about. As always, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And it's great if you can leave us a review. It helps the podcast to reach more people. Okay, that's it for this week. I'll be with you again next week. And until then, keep living life according to your own brilliant rhythm.